Support for The Conversation comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, which helps Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to contributors Wealth Jar, Hawaii Pacific University, and Locations.
Kūpaua, a lingering fragrance, and the name of the husband and wife duo that fills the air of HPR's Atherton studio with their beautiful Hawaiian melodies on August 4th. Reserve your seats now for Kūpaua at hprtickets.org. HPR members enjoy discounted pricing. Sponsored by Bonnie Rice and the Rice Partnership Wealth Management.
Support for The Conversation comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, which helps Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to contributors Ekahi Ornish Lifestyle Medicine, Ulupono Initiative, and Impact Hub Honolulu Co-working.
This is The Conversation on Hawaii Public Radio. I'm Catherine Cruz. With the primary election almost upon us, we invited the heads of the Democratic and Republican parties to join us here in studio. We also have political analyst Neil Milner, who taught political science at UH Manoa for 40 years and is the contributing editor of our biweekly segment, The Long View. Thanks for joining us here this morning, Neil.
Sure.
And representing the chair of the Democratic Party is Kaylee Lopez, recently elected as party chair. And the Republican Party, we have Shirlene Ostroff this morning. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you, aloha.
Thank you.
And this is the first time you folks have met. You didn't know each other prior to this.
Yes.
So we'll be getting to know each other.
Yes.
Well, let's start. Kaylee, for folks who may not know your background, you are a lobbyist with a local law firm here.
Yes, I work. We currently transitioned from Alston Hunt Floyd & Ng to a large international law firm called Dentons, and that just happened about a month or so ago. And prior to that, though, I was the president and CEO of Olelo Community Television for many, many, many years, and then also had the distinct privilege of being able to serve in Governor Abercrombie's cabinet as the director of the Department of Commerce and Consumer Affairs. So definitely involved in a great deal of public service all along the way. So this is just another aspect of that in working with the Democratic Party now.
So what made you decide to jump in and trying to chair this party?
Well, I think part of it is just realizing that there's so much more that the Democratic Party can do. And I think a big part of that is trying to find ways that we can be more involved in making significant changes that's much more meaningful in the lives of people here in Hawaii. And my sense is unless we actually are proactive and really meaningful in doing that, it's just going to be the same old, same old. So I don't know that anyone wants that to continue. So I think we have to take charge of that and just move forward.
And what about you, Shirlene? Tell us a little about your background.
Absolutely. Well, I'm a local girl. I went to after graduation from high school, I went to college on the mainland and spent 24 years traversing the globe as a U.S. Air Force officer, finally retiring back here about 3 years, now 4 years ago, back home. And same thing, I've never been involved in politics, always been involved in public service, though. And when I came home, I realized the same things, that we don't want the status quo, and that an unchecked one-party rule has really disadvantaged us. Already we're disadvantaged location-wise and the cost of living, and an unchecked one-party rule has further disadvantaged us. So decided to saddle up and get involved and try to make meaningful changes as well.
And you tried to run for office the last go-around.
I did. I actually was home for a little while and realized that an open seat was going to be unchallenged by a Republican. And it was my first clue that things are not well in the Republican Party when there was no candidate vying for an open seat of Congress. And so I put my name in, a total newbie, because I felt that we needed to be represented. And so I'm a take charge kind of person. Like I said, I retired as a Air Force colonel, and I just knew that there was leadership to be taken in the Hawaii Republican Party.
Neil, you have a long view.
No, it's a long view, but it's a family question to both of you. Do you come from political families? I don't necessarily mean very open, very visible, but you know, were your parents active? Did they talk about politics?
No, not at all. This is Charlene, and my parents are immigrants from the Philippines, and so we talked about politics from a very strategic level, how proud we are to be Americans, what is our duty as Americans, that we as American children had a responsibility. So we talked about politics, but never at this level.
So when did it happen to you?
You know, it just happened afterwards, you know, as my entire adult life was spent in an apolitical atmosphere, and so I never paid attention to it beyond the policies.
Somewhat similar in that both my parents were actually involved in the Democratic Party, but I was so young I hadn't realized it other than being trounced out every now and then for the sign-waving activities. But my parents had participated in a convention as well. Again, that wasn't a big part of the discussion, though. You know, we definitely had a lot of family time, talked about a lot of issues, but it wasn't necessarily an issue, you know, a matter of the Democratic Party and what it's all about. For me, I became involved really in some ways when we had the presidential preference polls where Hawaii was going to be able to potentially vote for Hillary or Barack Obama. And I actively registered at that time and got involved in different aspects of the party. I've been involved in everything from a precinct president to district chair and worked my way through that. And big part of that was with the Hawaiian Affairs Caucus of the Democratic Party. But yeah, no, it wasn't so much anything that the parents so much pushed, other than I think, you know, we both, I think, very much growing up here in Hawaii, see that, you know, being involved and just sitting by the wayside is really not part of the way we were raised.
Right.
So we've, you know, my hope, and I bet it's no different, is that we want to get people involved. Too much for now. So many of the people here in Hawaii kind of just sit back. Either they feel like it's, you know, their voice doesn't count, or they're just not involved. And I think hopefully if she and I are really working real hard at this, you're going to see a lot more people, a lot more people involved. Voter turnout is going to be one of the big things that we push for as well.
Right, and that's been just dismal. I mean, really dismal. And you get the people who say, well, the Democrats have been in control and look where we're at and, you know, there's not much choice with the Republicans and they just don't vote at all. And so that's, I think, the big problem.
It is a big problem. I know that that's one of our major activities is our get out the vote activities. And, you know, being having the distinction as a state with the lowest voter turnout, I think all of us as citizens need to think about how we can improve that and make sure that people exercise that very, very important right to vote.
I think the other thing is, you know, part of our job, you know, really as the party or even government in general, is the fact that so many citizens have no idea how much impact the legislature, your county councils have in their everyday life. And they really need to kind of step back and realize there's a lot that gets done without any input. And so I don't necessarily lay the blame on the decision makers all the time. If they're not hearing from constituents, they're not hearing from the public about what their thoughts and concerns are, you're going to get what you get. And my hope is that, our work is to have people recognize how important it is for them to be part of, you know, providing the direction for the state. I mean, we really have very few people doing that. And I think it's one thing to criticize those who are doing it versus not getting involved. So my thing for most people is look in the mirror. If you're not doing anything, you're not down at the legislature, and for sure if you're not voting. That's why I love that no vote, no grumble aspect. It doesn't mean you're not represented, but it means you haven't given your voice for the direction of Hawaii. I say if you're a Hawaii resident, why aren't you trying to help provide direction for the state?
So wait, are you willing to increase voter turnout among people who are going to vote Republican?
you know, I'm happy that people vote, period. Here's my thing. I might not agree with people, and I might not agree with the policies, but I want people to care about the direction of Hawaii. So if they at least get involved, I might try to help educate them mm-hmm. to what party they might really be best suited for, or to provide direction. I mean, the Democratic Party is a large tent. I mean, we have a wide range from extremely conservative, extreme, you know, very
it's
conservative to extremely. Yes, it is. But I do think it's healthy.
Yeah,
you know, I might lose my job to say there really should be a two-party system.
Yeah, no, I think it's an important thing to say, and that I would contend that even people who had unchecked power might say that iron sharpens iron, and there should be a competition of ideas on some level, that that, you know, not being challenged makes you a kind of lazy in making decisions and coming up with policies for the direction. So, yeah, I think both of us would be fired if we said that, but I think having a healthy two-party system is best for Hawaii to solve the many problems that
we have. It's interesting when you do polls and you ask people about it, they tend to support your view that it's important to have a two-party system. But when you ask who they're voting for, they're not willing to vote for another, they're not willing to vote for, say, Sam Slum in the district, the last remaining Republican senator, just to preserve the two-party system. So it's hard, right?
There's a lot of dynamics that are going into that.
Because partisanship is pretty strong.
And I was involved in another conversation with another political analyst, Colin Moore, and I know he said with the Republicans, it's like they eat their young.
Yes.
No?
Yes.
And it is kind of sad because we've seen the numbers of Republicans at the legislature just dwindle down to less than half a dozen.
You know, if I can liken this to, you know, on a championship team, there's no dissent, right? Because everyone's moving. But in a team that's not winning often, there's a lot of dissenting voices and a lot of people that want to pull it to a different direction. And so we just have to put our mindset that that we're going to be on a winning team and that we follow a plan to get us to.
But the Republicans, to me, eat their young in a way that, given what you say, which is definitely right, you've got a harder job, they eat their young in a particularly unproductive way. That is, you have the Hawaii Republican Assembly, which under some circumstances in other places would be a kind of organized voice from the right that is more conservative.
Yes,
and they're not that at all.
Correct.
I mean, they're essentially a bunch of kind of, I don't know what you want to call it, anarchistic critics.
Yes.
So part of what happens is that your young seems to get eaten in very unproductive ways. It doesn't have it doesn't bring out a kind of discussion between a different set of ideas.
No, I agree. And that's why I know taking charge of this party was not something that was going to be particularly easy. I always likened it to going into combat, and I said, you got to be in the foxhole, you got to lace up your combat boots, and we got to do this together. I will say it hasn't been easy, and I would say that we're still a work in progress, but we certainly are moving forward than when I took the party over a year ago.
If you're just joining the conversation, we're talking with the heads of the Republican and Democratic parties, and you can join the discussion by calling us at 941-3689 or 1-877-941-3689 from the neighbor islands. You can also email us at talkback@hawaiipublicradio.org. And we do have a question that was sent to us. Should we share the value of being non-judgmental until we have walked in each other's shoes, of being kind and respectful in our language toward others? Do we honor humanity above political differences? Do we truly offer a hand up? And how can we come together with these values? Please share your perspectives.
I mean, yes, yes, and yes. Like, I was brought up here, and that's the values that we have here in Hawaii. You know, the political environment is such that it's so polarized that if we follow the national scene, that we can really get into a place that none of those values happen. But we grew up in Hawaii, and it's different. So all of those values, respect, and helping each other, despite our political differences, I think is something that we strive for, at least. At least I do, and I'm sure. Yeah.
No, I can honestly say that's one of the reasons I did run for the chair of the Democratic Party, not because I see that as an issue within the Democratic Party, but I actually do see that as a problem here in Hawaii. Those values are critical, as was stated. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's kind of like in our DNA,
yeah.
And I think For some of us, we've lost touch with it. And there's a lot of folks, you know, rightfully so, beautifully coming to Hawaii, that's not anywhere in their DNA, and hopefully they've got some old ancestral DNA things where they can connect with that. But there's a lot of ways that people do address their descent. So there's dissent everywhere, I think, and that's a healthy thing. The degree to which people can be civil about that. And, you know, we'll go with the local term and not be pilau in how they, you know, talk to one another. I don't believe that, you know, denigrating or diminishing someone else helps your argument at all. And, in fact, it pushes people away. I think we have to focus on what the issues are, not who's saying them, and not taking a position about who they are as a person, but rather focus on what the issue is. And to me, that was a critical part. I see that as a problem for Hawaii moving forward. And because the Democratic Party, you know, for now is one of the strongest parties, we have, I think, a huge obligation to help focus on that shift and not continue to allow Hawaii to become anywhere like everywhere else in the world. And anyway.
When we just had something recently, I think the GOP had to disown one of the candidates. You talked about how there were very few. It was the difficulty of actually having Republicans run for office, and that now you've got somebody on the ballot, and you folks had to kind of step away.
Yeah,
talk about that.
Yeah, so we had a candidate who seemed very promising, and in the course of his campaigning, it became increasingly clear in his views in very very bold terms that he was a racist and a white supremacist, which is totally disgusting views that are not in line with the Republican Party. And we're not in a position to turn very many people away, but there is no doubt in our mind that those disgusting views are not part of who we are as Republicans. And it was not even difficult to remove him from the party. And you know, unfortunately, the ballot had already been printed when we found out. And he is a candidate in Hilo for District 2, and we just absolutely disowned him and his views that are not in at all compatible with Republican values.
We do have a call from the Big Island. Jerome, what's on your mind? You have a question for Charlene?
Yes. I would want to know, how can the Republican Party actually back the school president we have in office, who's a narcissistic egomaniac? And basically, no matter what he does, everybody seems to go along with him. There's no checks or balances. What's the deal with that? Do you guys actually support him? That's what I want to know.
You know, I think there's a wide range of views on our president, particularly in his behavior versus policy, but there is a wide view of that, and we see it playing out in staff changes. We see it playing out all the time. So I think there's a lot of checks and balances, but I think that if we were to look at the substance of policy, that's what we'd like to comment on, and those policies and keeping his promises on things that have improved our economy and have moved the ball in many different areas is something that that people are focused on. You know, I don't think anybody's going to say we just love the way he approaches things, but our president is not a seasoned politician, and there's no way that I'm going to say that I love the way the approach is. But I do support our president because I support the policies that he is supporting.
I happened to catch a forum last night on PBS on Insights where we had the Republican candidates talking about they were asked that same question about their support for Trump, and they all, you know, stood in line and said yes, they support him.
You know, it's interesting if I may just real quick. You know, for me personally, you recall that I said I was a member of the armed forces for 24 years, and as a colonel, you know, I've worked for generals who didn't use the best language and who I didn't necessarily like, but I followed them, saluted smartly because I knew they were going to get us in the direction of victory, and what's best for our nation. So I kind of liken it to that. I'm able to look at it a little differently, and I think that's what people across the across the party who support him do as well, that our president is very successful and has been very clear on the things that he wants to do and keeping his promises.
Well, I mean, we've heard this argument before with Democrats and Bill Clinton and others, and it's a useful argument, mm-hmm. but it's not going to convince anybody on the other side. I was interested in the recent poll that showed that Hawaii Republicans in the poll and Hawaii Democrats are just as polarized, if not more so, than any other place in the country. What is about a 90% approval rate?
91% approval rate. Yeah.
And this is real interesting to me because when he first declared his candidacy and he was going to be a part of the caucus, Pat Psaki said, we're too nice a place for him. Mm-hmm. And then he won the caucus. And then the Republican Party sort of disappeared here for a while. And when you looked at who the Trump supporters were who were showing up in Akron, they were not people well-known in the Republican Party. And I guess what I'm asking is, from the inside, what does this transition look like? What happened to the party that they could move in this? I'm not saying it in a critical way.
I think that's a fair question. You know, I think just like everywhere else around the country, President Trump brought out a whole dynamic of voters and people who wanted to get involved. And so it has kind of maybe transformed the party. I haven't been here long enough to actually fully understand that transformation. But I will tell you, you know, when you look at why people are supporting the president, it's a whole host of things. Mm-hmm. And I think part of it is the polarization and the resistance movement. So there are people who support him, and then the a resistance to anything kind of really entrenches you in I support him. So there's a lot of dynamics going on, not just the support of the president, but probably the tiresome nature of those who oppose him
and
relentlessly.
We have seen a number of people defect from the Republican Party.
Yes.
Beth Fukumoto.
Yes.
Trump's comments, you know, sent her running to the Democratic Party.
Yes.
Well, and you know, if I might just add, for good or bad, you know, I think the truth of the matter, and I think that makes both our jobs very difficult. For our purposes, Trump is probably one of our best recruitment strategies insofar as people being very concerned about the Supreme Court justice selection. That's not just, you know, within his term in office. That's going to be really long term, and the effects of that is significant. I think the reality is, and then similarly, I think for the Republican Party, for those who are aligned with what President Trump is putting out there, I'm sure it's attracting quite a few folks to the Republican
Party
and helping grow it. The key there is that, you know, for any of us, is that what you really want to have be the reason why the party grows versus really being attuned to and very interested in really what the purpose of the party is. And for our, you know, for us, it's been very difficult too. We've had a large influx of folks who had, you know, the party still struggles. The DNC is looking at that, and we've got a big discussion happening as it relates to superdelegates. Mm-hmm. And that's a big part of, again, people who maybe weren't normally involved in a party, all of a sudden wanting to be part of a party, which is fantastic. For what reason? And our job is to figure out how do you take that really great energy, hopefully positive, and help it move you forward.
We do have a number of calls. We've got a few calls stacking up here. Tom from Lapahoehoe, are you still on the line? What's on your mind?
I'm still here, and I've lived in Hawaii since 85. I was in the military also. I did 10 years in the Marine Corps, and I got out and became a police officer on Hawaii Island. And, you know, living really closely in these smaller communities on the Big Island. Right now I live on the Hamakua coast in Lapahoehoe. So, you know, I think every island is ethnocentric. Mm-hmm. Every island is economically centric. They all have their different needs. I think what had happened, I used to be a Republican. I supported Pat Psaki years ago. I used to be a supporter of Mike Gabbard. And when he couldn't win against Patsy Mink for years and years, I remember him campaigning. And, you know, for me, I see the lack of message from Hawaii Republicans, and I say Hawaii Republicans because you have to be politically ethnocentrically, community-centrically aware of what's going on in Hawaii. And you cannot be an American Absolutely. Republican, like a mainland Republican, and apply those principles here in Hawaii. It just does not work. You have to be on the ground speaking to those people that are struggling every day, people and sharing in their misery and their successes and knowing people in the community. And that's where the Democrat Party, that's what they saw years and years and decades ago that they could actually build upon. They build upon, you know, it's still the working man, even though the unions might not be as strong as they were. There is still that memory of years and years and years ago where there were those abuses by the Republican Party, and they won't forget that. And, you know, if I were to join back with the Republican Party, what I would want to see is you would be a liberal conservative, if that's even, you know, if it's an oxymoron to say that. There needs to be a change, a heartfelt change within the Republican Party. And like your Republican speaker, I totally respect what she's saying. But unless she's out here in Lapa Hoi Hoi, unless she's out here in Na'alehu, unless she's out in Hana or Kula or Maui, talking to the people on the ground, and unless they are people that are out there that are Republicans doing the same thing and working in the community, there'll never be a change in the party in Hawaii. It's going to be Democrat. It's going to be a one-party system.
Thank you, Tom, for calling in.
Yeah, thank you.
We also have another call from Bernard from Honolulu. What's on your mind?
Well, you talk about a one-party system. That's Hawaii. You have the Women Caucus, I see, in the Capitol. They say like-minded individuals, like-minded thoughts, and we have these values. But when it gets timed and down, you ask the people's input, people are overwhelmingly against certain items, and they go ahead and time every year, go ahead and do whatever they want. The people of Hawaii are not being represented by the House and the Senate.
You feel they're ignoring your input?
Like, we got a guy like Doug Sheehan bragging. He's the only one that stood up to Donald Trump, and that was struck down by the Supreme Court. It's a dirty shame. It's a black eye for Hawaii. And then when they passed that law where a place for women in Waipio, they have to post signs for the women to go to Planned Parenthood. There's a large imbalance in the Democrat Party. They're overwhelmingly for abortion. And that other places that doesn't get a dime from the struggling, and the state and the House passes a law to fine them for not posting signs and doing what they want.
Thank you, Bernard, for calling in. Kitley, what about that point? He raises the issue that the lawmakers are kind of ignoring public input.
From my perspective, you know, I think you can take that position. I would go so far as to say, though, that the legislators hear from very few people. As a lobbyist, which was a big contention and still is, that as the chair of the Democratic Party, I am a lobbyist. But the truth of the matter is, folks take time to go to the legislature and let them know what's happening. I think it's a problem if lawmakers are only hearing from lobbyists and not hearing from the broader community. So his concern, I think, is one of, you know, have people with Planned Parenthood and others been advocating significantly? Are legislators hearing from different voices? If they hear from the same people all the time, yeah, I think it can become difficult. You know, I put myself in their position every opportunity I can, and it's not an easy one. It's their responsibility, most certainly. But I think it's important for them to hear from as many people as possible who have different perspectives. And if they're not hearing from folks, regrettably, things like that can happen.
There are folks maybe that feel disenfranchised, you know, and maybe that's the reason for the apathy. We do have another call. Paige from Palolo, you have a question?
Yeah, I do. Hi. First of all, I really appreciate and respect that you both acknowledge that it's good to have two parties. And I'm someone who, I guess I identify as a Democrat, but I'm pretty discerning when I vote if there's a Republican that I feel is is more aligned with what's best, I'll do that. You know what I mean? That being said, I understand why you would support Donald Trump. He's your president and he's in your party, but I just would appreciate it if you would speak on the things that he said, not when he's being overzealous, but when he's saying things that are directly offensive to women who have been sexually abused, to Native Hawaiians. I mean, I know not directly, but to Indigenous peoples. You know, I identify with all of those categories, and whether he's helping our economy or hurting it, I honestly don't care. What I care about is the fact that kids are growing up right now understanding that the way that Donald Trump treats women and minorities is acceptable, and that that's something that's honorable and something to aspire to.
Thank you, Paige.
And I don't think that's something that people talk about enough, and I'm tired of hearing about the economy.
Charlene, you want to address that?
You know, like I said, there are comments that are regrettable, and but I've met the president, and you know, Paige, I'm a woman, I'm a mother of two daughters, and I'm a minority, and I'm a daughter of immigrants, and so all of that, I'm still somehow able to discern the intent of the language and you know, so I'm kind of trying to be very discerning myself on what I read, what I hear, and how people can spin a sentence one way or the other. I'm just I admit sometimes the language is regrettable, and I'm trying to focus on the substance of policies and things like that.
So it makes you uncomfortable sometimes hearing what he's
sometimes,
hearing.
Absolutely. Yeah. Sometimes it makes me uncomfortable. I go, oh, that was regrettable, or that tweet should not have gone out. And on the, you know, on the balance, though, I support what he does. What he does versus what he says. And I know I'm with you, Paige. I'm a mother raising young ladies, and I get it. So.
Yeah, I'm a big picture guy, which for better or for worse here, and so I look at this a little different. The first thing I would say is that people have to get over saying they don't understand why Donald Trump does something. The real thing is they don't accept it, and I'm certainly one of those people that don't accept it. The idea that you don't understand means you're not listening, whether you're listening to Shirley or whether you're listening to others. There are some pretty compelling reasons, and they show up over and over again. And in regard to these kinds of things, to women and to immigration, it was clear early on, especially with the pussy tapes, that that's not going to change, and that there are a lot of people, including the majority of the religious right, who, in the scheme of things, found that less important. You can see that as hypocritical. You can see it any way you want, but that's how it is. And the primary reason that it's like that is, in this day and age, you look to your political party first and don't look at the opposition party at all. And you psychologically, well, that's a bad term, you adjust your a particular act into the context of things, which is, I think, you know, what you're doing and what we've all done with other candidates also. So I guess I've become a little bit impatient. I'm certainly as much anti-Trump as I ever was. But the notion that you don't understand why people think the other way, you got to get over it. They do, and you have to say, I disagree with it, and it's not going to change. I can't imagine Donald Trump doing anything involving immigration, involving treatment of women, that's going to change the 40% the 40% approval rating he gets nationally, which in effect is about an 80% Republican approval rating.
One thing that I know that I've seen a number of stories on is how some of the actions by our president has emboldened average citizens to vent, and you know, whether it's on a subway against an immigrant or at a supermarket, it is a little distressing that you see this. And I don't know how to describe this vile.
It's distressing, absolutely.
it is.
That doesn't mean you can't understand why it's happening, right? I mean, that's
It's a couple of things. I think, you know, the truth of the matter is that I think people do believe because the president says what he says. He is the leader of the country. And if he can get away with some of the things he says as a normal citizen, you know, the sense is that people believe they can start, you know, turning in someone, some young child who's selling hot dogs for not having their license. But then you see the flip side of that, too, though, where you saw government people getting involved in helping him get his license. So I think there's multiple ways to look at issues. I think this gets back to the point that we were talking about earlier, or a statement someone said. I mean, clearly what happens in other parts of the country, we don't want to see happening here in Hawaii. If we have any control over any of that, that's here in Hawaii. And it's, you know, I hope we don't see that kind of activity. I don't think from Republicans or those who support Trump in that way. However, there are still issues related to women's rights, the Women's March. I think here in Hawaii, you know, we might not be experiencing it as much, but the whole concept of children being separated from their parents. You know, one can easily speak to, and I've heard it said, well, you know, when people get incarcerated, they get separated from their children. They have family those children can go to. They're American citizens. When you go in, when you get incarcerated, maybe they go with grandma, tutu, or whatever. That happens a lot here in Hawaii. But when you're an immigrant family coming through, illegal, legal, or whatever, having a child separated from their parent is a long-term trauma. And I think it's those kinds of policy issues that, to me, are really more, you know, make America great again. I think everything that made America great is being slowly but surely eliminated. I don't know if you saw the cover of, and I don't mean to take over the show, I don't want to attack anyone, but the open carry, you know, the front page of the Star Advertiser talking about open carry. I just don't know, you know, again, and your point about people saying, well, they're disenfranchised, they're disempowered, they're disillusioned, so they're stepping back and not getting involved. I say, shame on you. Hawaii needs everybody to step forward. You cannot afford to just sit back and expect other people to carry your load. That's not even the way we here in Hawaii were raised. Yep. Step forward and do something, whether it's joining one party over the other.
We do have a call coming in from Maui, Nukuliunanda. I hope I pronounced your name. You have a point about the parties on the ballot.
Yeah, let me correct the pronunciation. Okay. Nukuliunanda. Nukuliunanda. I was former co-chair of the Green Party for years and a current candidate. You talk about the two political parties. Well, there are actually five political parties on the ballot, and another is trying to qualify. So as the Republicans around the state keep on joining the Democrats, and it becomes more of a moderate political mainstream party, and the Republicans move to the extreme right with our current president, true progressives and environmentalists and social justice voters, they want a viable Green Party and an alternative party to offer those perspectives, which the Democrats do not, as it moves more towards the middle ground, more towards Republicans. On the mainstream, a lot of the Democrats would be Republicans on the mainland. And their national leader, the Democrats' national leader, is not even a member of the Democratic Party. So here on Maui, we have a current mayor who is now a Democrat, and he's a lifelong Republican. What a joke, because even the media recognize that there's non-major political parties here and cover the Green Party and other parties. And this year, for example, there are six Greens on the ballot. And there's three for the state legislature here on Maui. So people are looking for an alternative. But as long as the media and even this show, you keep on talking about, well, if you can't be a Democrat, you're a Republican. But that's not true. There are other parties, but because, and people have said this to me for years, well, you guys are never covered. You're not. So it's like a, you know, we keep on doing that with the media not covering us. And the and then people say, well, you know, it must be that there's no alternative, but either a moderate party, the Democrats, or an extreme right party, the Republicans. So it is true that access to voting in Hawaii is great, and I agree with you 100%. Everyone has talked about the poor voting. But part of that is that the fact is who your choice is. Here on Maui, 18 people running for the county council. They're all Democrats. And it does cross this from the people that were Bernieites, and the Green Party got built up around Maui and the country because of the Bernie people and the Demexit people. So I just wish in the conversation, excuse the pun on the show, that you actually talk about third parties and other alternative parties. And we have won 7 times on the big...
All right. Thank you very much for calling in. What do you think about that, Neil?
Well, it's a vicious circle. We don't talk about them because we don't think we have much to say. We don't have much to say because information doesn't get out there. Information doesn't get out there because, well, partly because the media doesn't cover them. The media doesn't cover them because they're minor players. It's a circle. And the Green Party, which has been relatively successful, as he pointed out, compared to other, even more so than libertarians who had a bright and shiny moment and then have sort of disappeared from the, or more or less disappeared. But the problem essentially is that you have winner-take-all elections. And you know, you can say the media should cover things more. You can criticize television stations for not including all the candidates. But in a situation where the winner takes all, which, of course, at one time the Republicans were in a system where the winner didn't take all, and they did much better when in the multiple-member electoral system, their chances of winning are relatively low. Now, in a special election, that might be different. But it's a conundrum. And every time you say this, you get accused of saying you don't care about the third party or minor parties. And the broader point is how hard it is for third parties to get anywhere because you can't win unless you get a majority. And that's pretty much it. And that's not going to change.
Right. And maybe some of those parties don't have candidates that have high name recognition.
Of course, because they can't get it, and because they're issue-oriented. It was one thing when Ralph Nader, who had plenty of name recognition, would run as a Green candidate. But say the difference, if I say the name Ralph Nader, people are going to go, uh-huh. If I say the name Jill Stein, a lot fewer people are going to go, uh-huh, even if he ran. Or if I say one of the Koch brothers was once the vice presidential candidate on a Libertarian ticket, it's a Koch brother. He's a gazillionaire. People aren't going to know that either. And that's a kind of spectacular version of what I'm trying to say.
I know we did have Mayor Fossey and Danny Calacchini. They ran on the best party.
Yeah. Well, but remember what Mayor Fossey, there wasn't a person in town who was conscious who didn't know who Mayor Fossey was by then. And
right.
He had run lots of times. And he himself had no trouble getting publicity.
Right.
You may remember.
Yes. We do have another call in from Mililani. What's on your mind?
Yeah, hi. My comment is just that I'm so frustrated with people who are friends of mine and politically active people and even on the panel talking about support for either Trump or Democratic candidates like Bernie as if the parties are static, you know, right now, or the people who are in them, like, oh, it's the religious right in the Republican Party, and it's sort of corporate Democrats and against Bernieites in the Democratic Party, when it's so in flux right now that it just seems to be really hard to nail down who's supporting people. I know that on the Republican side, many of my evangelical Christian friends can't stand Trump, especially after the immigration piece, and that a lot of my Democratic friends are scared as heck about the socialists coming into the Democratic Party. So it seems to be not a good time to try and sort of stereotype or broad brush the supporters of different groups just based on parties, because they're in such flux right now.
I think that's been the case throughout history. I mean, I think both parties, the Democratic Party in Hawaii in particular as well, has evolved over all the years. The caller is correct. It's not static. The reality is, as we resolve one perhaps coming together of the party, something new is going to come up. It's just a reality. I mean, society is, I think the party kind of in many ways reflects society and what people see as priorities.
Yeah, I agree. You know, one of the callers kept saying the far right Hawaii Republican Party, and I wouldn't consider myself or the Republican Party far right. I would consider us conservative, but, you know, and people would keep trying to push the Democrat branding to the socialist, you know, far left. And I don't know too many people who are my friends who are Democrats would actually sign up for that. So there is a flux and a change constantly. And the national dynamics certainly have a play in our local branding as well.
But there's big flux and there's small flux. And what I think you're talking about is, well, let's say immediate flux and long-term flux. You're talking about immediate flux, right? The fact of the matter is that party that you vote, and there's no sign that this is going to be different. People who vote for one party continue to vote for that party. 80% of the voters are like that, maybe even more. The second thing is, I think it's more important to understand how stable people are right now. You certainly can find some of the evangelicals turning them, or I should say religious right, because they're not all evangelicals, turning around a bit. But the fundamental factor is that they continue to support Trump just as much as they did before. And if the Republican Party here was facing a society that was so much in a state of flux, you guys would be much better off than you are now, right?
I mean, you're
essentially going into this election with the same handicap that you've had for, what, 20, well, long time, certainly since the early 90s.
We do have another call, Paul from Honolulu. You had a question?
Well, I have really a statement, I suppose.
Okay.
Now, I want to talk about the policy part of the Trump administration, where it seems to me that he is driving down a path of nationalism to an extreme. Now, we talked about Bannon, and Bannon's an ultra-nationalist, and I wouldn't go so far as to say that Trump's following that path. But when we start to denigrate our NATO allies, our economic allies, our partners, from Canada to Mexico to the Western European Union, I think that, you know, you can follow and agree with certain policies, but when it takes it to the point where it becomes a nationalist issue, where we have no consideration for partners that we've been close allies with, both economically and militarily, for the last 80 years, how does the Republican Party, how can they, unless they agree that the nationalist position is a good one, how can they go along with Trump's policies and the way he is essentially attacking our friends and partners while, of course, not doing so with the Russians?
Thank you, Paul, for calling in. We do have another comment along that same line. He writes in, every time election season rolls around, I'm reminded of a request a Chinese friend made. During the 2000 presidential election, I was living in China. A colleague begged me to think of China as I cast my vote. I thought he was asking me to vote for the candidate he likes, but it wasn't until this last election that I realized what he meant. When we vote for someone who will represent our country, someone who can strike up alliances. So get out there and vote. So what do you think about this question about what's happened on the foreign policy stage?
I would just say that really in the end, Trump speaks for himself. I mean, there's not much. Neil talked about it earlier. You can't be in a situation of being living and breathing and paying attention to current events to not know what his position is, and the whole concept of not understanding is interesting. I appreciate Neil's perspective on that. Is you may be the truth of the matter is you just might not agree. I think if anything, something like this, what I hope it means is that more and more people will vote. The reality is, whoever we have, you know, I often tell people with Trump in office, those of us who maybe didn't vote for him are just as responsible for him being in office as those who did. And that's because we let ourselves get divided. We let ourselves get distracted. We didn't take it serious enough. I mean, clearly, this is something people have got to pay a lot of attention to and need to get involved. That's the only thing I say is get involved. Stop sitting in the back row hoping someone else is going to take care of business. We all got to step forward.
Yeah, and I look at it differently. Probably I have served in UN peacekeeping type activities, so I've seen where we rely on our partner nations to shoulder, you know, what they say they're going to do and all of those things. And you know, I do look at our interests as well as taking into account our global partners, but I do look at our interests. But you know, reciprocal relationships are good for not just the U.S. and our partners, but it's good globally that there are reciprocal types of relationships respected both ways.
Any other thoughts, Neil?
No, I mean, Paul Ryan is in the district right next to where I grew up, and the district where I grew up may have cost Hillary Clinton the presidential race, not because it was the alienated white people who voted for Trump, but it was because the downward turnout for African American votes in that area. That's a biographical thing, but that's about it. I think the Republicans here are and lots of Republicans are in a tough position, as it was, you could see from the way you were pausing. You're defending a person for a variety of reasons, none of which have much to do with what he's like personally. And in real life, we can't always separate those things, but also in real life, we make adjustments. And again, I think that's why accepting why a Trump voter does what he or she does is not the same as agreeing with them by any means. But I think that we've reached a point, and I think it makes a lot of sense for progressives to finally get over the fact that you're going to change him by finding something that's even more morally bereft than he did before.
We've just about run out of time. Got 30 seconds to give a final thought as we close this out.
No, I think this was a great conversation, and I encourage everyone to come out and vote, get involved. It's too important for Hawaii to not get involved.
Absolutely. August 11th or your absentee ballots, get them in. We have to continue to have people get involved. Sitting by the sidelines just won't work anymore.
Okay. Well, we would like to thank everybody here in studio for your time and continuing to this conversation. And if your call didn't make it on the air during today's discussion, you can still contact the TalkBack line and leave your comments. That number is 808-792-8217. You can also email us at talkback@hawaiipublicradio.org. And if you want to listen back to today's show, check out the Conversation podcast at hawaiipublicradio.org. I'm Catherine Cruz. Join us on Monday for more of the Conversation.